Spring is almost here, and so is the all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. With a sleek, aerodynamic design and loads of innovative tech, the Ioniq 6 makes going electric hard to resist. Hyundai, it's your journey. Extremely limited availability. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Everybody, okay, we are back. Today on the show, a very dear friend of mine is flying in from Portland, Oregon, getting off the plane in the middle of what I think they're calling it a bomb cycle. Is that what it's called? It's crazy weather here, and coming into the studio. So I'm so excited to have her here. She's been on the show before, Mindy Stearns. If you watched my YouTube video of my birthday party, which you should go watch because it's so cute, go watch that. She's actually wearing a really sexy little blonde wig, and she's usually brunette. So got to look for her in the crowd there. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to say, don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. It is dropping on Tuesday. Go to my Instagram, Heather Dubrow. There's a link right there. I swear I'm getting it together. HeatherDubrow.com is coming very, very soon. I've just been, you know, moving and shaking and whatever the heck I'm doing. Not ketamining yet, but all of the rest of it. And so sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Just put your name and your email. Plus, I know I told everyone this yesterday, but I am going to get that Mixto fractionated CO2 laser on Sunday. I'm a little terrified. So if you've done this before, send me messages, and I'm going to document it. I'm going to show you what I look like before. I'm going to show you what the recovery process looks like. And strangely, I mean, I heard that the recovery is significant, like 5 to 8 days, but I have a luncheon to go to and things. And I figure I'm just going to go. Whatever, man. And also, so Chona, Terry's nurse, is doing it for me. She's so talented. And she does it with PRP. So they take your blood and spin it and put the platelets on you, I guess. And then I also heard that you should go to the hyperbaric oxygen tank right after for 3 days in a row. So it helps with healing. I'm going to try it. I don't know if anyone has any ideas about that. Let me know. Also, be on the lookout for my first show on Fireside. It's coming April 4th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, live on Fireside. So I'm so excited. I'll put links for you to be able to see it and go sign up on Fireside and be able to watch the show. There's going to be giveaways, getaways, takeaways. I think you guys are going to love it. All right. Great show today. Mindy Stearns, TV personality, mom, philanthropist, coming up next. Welcome to the Hyundai Essential Skill Series. I'm Heather Dubrow. Hey, so I've been thinking about my marriage a lot lately because we are coming up on our 24-year wedding anniversary, and I can't believe it. It's crazy to me. And then in December, we will be together 27 years. It's almost 3 decades of being together. And I'll tell you, some days it feels like I've known him forever, and some days it feels like I've just met him. And I really think that the key to our marriage has been separate bathrooms. Okay, I'm kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, because separate bathrooms are actually a really good idea if you can manage that. But really, it's about building a foundation in your relationship that can weather any storm. When you marry someone or commit to them in general, whether, you know, it's a life partner or, you know, any long-term relationship, you're taking a leap of faith. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you meet someone and you fall in love and you start a relationship. And I always say, you know, when you start a relationship with someone, you know, it's definitely, it's sort of like a deal, right? You know, what am I willing to accept and put up with and love? And what are you willing to accept and put up with and love? Because no one's perfect, and we all have our foibles and our things that irritate other people. And so what is it about this person that makes them super special? But as years go on, things change. People change. We can grow in different directions, emotionally, sometimes physically. And how do you last for all time? How do you go the distance? What do you do? I will tell you that I think communication is key. you have to be able to talk to your partner, period. If you are having internal dialogues that you feel like you can't express, if you are complaining to your friends or your parent or your kid or whomever about your partner, this isn't healthy. It's not healthy and it doesn't do anyone any good. You will just be frustrated or you will have pent up anger and explode one day. You have got to talk. This is exactly what it takes to build a lasting relationship. You have to communicate with each other and you have to really listen because I think we're all good at being able to figure out what we want. And if we have to, telling someone, okay, here's what I need. Here's what I want. Here's how I want you to deliver this upon me. Okay, you're self-actualized. You know what you want. I think that's fantastic. And you need to tell your partner those things. Here's the flip side of it. You have to listen because your partner feels the same way. They have their own needs and their own wants and desires that they need from you, and they need you to listen to them. So you have to listen and you have to be able to say what you need. This is very, very important, and this will build a lasting foundation for your relationship. The Hyundai Essential Skills Series is brought to you by Hyundai. For more information, go to www.hyundai.com. Hyundai, it's your journey. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. So excited for my guest today. Not only is she a very dear friend and I love her very much, but from a rooster call on Oprah to a podcast host, she has literally done it all. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's an award-winning television personality, she's a huge philanthropist, and I just love her to pieces. Please welcome Mindy Stearns.
Thank you. Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Okay, first of all, let's talk. The new branding, the new look,
yeah.
It's all beautiful.
Thank
your
you.
Newsletter. I'm sorry, not your lizard. The HD handbook.
I've reduced to calling it a newsletter because I think it's more understandable.
People understand it because, you know, handbook.
It's a newsletter.
Handbook sounds like work.
Right, like you have to do something, like a workbook.
Parent handbook. Oh, right. here's your driver's license handbook. It's work. Newsletter's fun.
So true.
It's in the now. Whatever's going on, I love it, though. It's beautiful. Everything
Thank
looks
you.
Beautiful. The colors. I love the new Let's Talk. I love the branding.
Thank you.
It's fun. Look at you and Madonna,
it's been
reinventing
like,
yourself.
Yeah, it's been like, yeah, right. It's been about a year, honestly, in the making, where I thought, you know what? It's not that I want a rebrand. I don't need a rebrand. I felt like I just
like
wanted
a facelift. Everyone needs a little touch up every now and again.
Exactly.
And you will never do that. So why not?
Well, I mean,
you don't need to.
Let's never say never. So I'm I was telling my audience yesterday, I'm doing this laser thing on Sunday. I'm going to tell you what it's called.
Some procedure you were talking about doing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it's called.
Did you do the ketamine thing yet?
No.
I was so dying to hear about that.
All right. So I had it scheduled for this week, but we're moving.
Ugh.
And so I just
finally like moving.
Well, I have a new rental house in Orange County.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. It's ridiculous.
You
know.
So
I'm doing the mixto fractionated CO2.
Wow, that sounds really medical.
I know.
And
sounds
healthy. It sounds like it's going to hurt and it's going to be amazing at the same
Apparently,
time.
Apparently, it just takes off the top layer. And the nurse told me I really just need a resurfacing for like little things I have that, you know, need to be burned off, whatever. She just said that this was going to give like the skin a really nice refresh.
Nice. That'll feel good.
Yeah,
Why
I get
not?
Nervous
I mean,
to do anything.
You need to power wash the house every now and again. You need to pressure wash the sidewalk, and it looks brand new.
Right?
You're not like you're replacing the whole sidewalk. You're just freshening it up.
So what about you? Would you ever do something like that?
I would love to. I've been talking about these. This is what I want to do.
Eyelids?
Yeah, I want to do eyelids. But I'm scared. I've been seeing this gal, Mandy. She's fabulous. She comes down to Orange County. I go in my friend's guest house, and she brings down her machines, and she does this thing called Geneo, and it's like a collagen-producing resurfacing, and I've only
It's like a laser?
Kind of. It's just a thing that vibrates and stimulates, and it feels a little bit of pain, but not a lot.
Okay.
My skin has totally changed. Like, it was really bad for a while, like really bad. I can get you when she comes down. She does it on, like, whenever.
Yes.
I love her. She does a lot of celebrities, and she's just – I love the products. I don't even know what they're called, but it's Embrace is her company, M-B-R-A-C, I think. But she just will come down, and she does this whole thing, and she gave me supplements for, like, the pores and for any kind of yeast you might have in your body. And I just wanted, like you said, like a resurfacing. I didn't want to do a facelift or anything, you know, crazy. So
I know
we're trying to age gracefully.
We're trying, but like, what does that even mean, though, to age gracefully? I mean, I think it means to
acceptance.
Because I don't accept it. I don't accept it. But I am trying to do this, though. I'm trying to enjoy what I look like right now. Because I remember, like, even 10 years ago, I would say to Terry, "Oh, you know, at 44, you know, yeah. All right, how old am I? Am I 54?
Yeah. We're the same age.
I forgot already.
Oh, welcome.
I thought it was 53. Damn it. Okay. Anyway.
I know.
So at 44, I remember saying to Terry, like, oh, this, like, look at this. And he would say to me, if I showed you a picture of you right now, 10 years from now, you'd be like, wow, why didn't I just enjoy how great I look?
Yes.
So I try really desperately to live in that. So even if, like, I look at my neck and I'm like, all right,
enjoy it
well,
now.
I don't really love that neck, but you know what? That neck in 10 years is going to be worse.
I used to always say, I told my husband I was going to write a book, and the title was going to be, I Wish I Was As Fat As I Used to Think I Was.
Right.
And other tidbits for staying in the moment and appreciating the now as a subtext. Because I think what we do is we get so caught up in what isn't right now that one day that now was going to be so amazing. In hindsight, it was like, why was I complaining? Because look at
– that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Be happy where you are right now. And that doesn't mean you can't strive for things and want for things and all of that. But it always reminds me – I've talked about this before, but it always reminds me of when – we moved down to Orange County and had two little babies, and I went from full-time working to full-time stay at home. And I was loved being with my kids. Love being a mom. But it's so, you know, it's mm-hmm. very hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. It's very isolating. And I so yearned for that creative side of me that literally was killed in a death. And because at the time you couldn't create content, that we didn't have stuff like that.
Nothing like that.
So,
this.
But
you had to be out of the house for it.
And again, my brilliant husband, Terry, said, if I could show you crystal ball and show you everything and I wish I hadn't suffered it so much.
Yeah. Isn't that, there's a lesson.
I'm better at it now.
Stop suffering where you are, because that will pass and then there'll be new suffering down the line.
100%.
So just enjoy right now, because guess what? No one's getting out alive, people.
No.
Nobody.
But you got to enjoy it now. You can't put things off. You have to enjoy when you're young and you're healthy. And this is young. I mean,
we're young.
Yes. I was talking with someone the other day about our parents, okay? And I was saying, like, my mom happens to be she's like a very young 80.
Oh.
She's turning 81 in June, and she's young.
So
she travels, she's good, she's whatever. But there are other people in our family, and my friend's parents also, they were old at 40.
Yeah. I think I've always believed this, and I truly stick to this, that it's in your mind. I really think you tell your brain how old you are. If you're waking up every day and saying, oh my God, everything hurts, I'm getting so old, oh my God, the more you tell your brain, guess what? Your brain's going to follow instructions. You give it the instructions, and it will follow what you tell it. So stop saying that. Stop. I'm so old. I'm getting so fat. Oh my God, I'm so wrinkled. Oh, everything hurts. Guess what? Your brain doesn't know the difference. So it's going to start doing what you're asking of it. So I say, talk to your brain. Be nice.
Okay. So when you think about yourself, we were talking about this a few weeks ago on the show. When you think about yourself, how old are you?
I'm like 30. I love 30.
30?
30 was so fun.
Why? What was going on at 30?
30 is when 30 is things, my mouth was uncontrollable. 30 was when I got my first break in television. I was single. I was on my own. I was just taking off. I got the job at Entertainment Tonight. I just started on the air. I had just been on Oprah, like, when I was 29, and it just, like, my life took off right then. I was so happy being me. Like, I was so happy in my skin. And it's like the more happy I was in my own skin, the more I attracted, like, really good things started coming this way. And I've noticed that when I start taking really good care of myself or I start honoring me, good things come my way. It just, that's the way life is. It, you attract the good stuff in there. And the more you hate on yourself, the more things aren't going to come at you. Because who wants to go towards a negativity? Even the universe is like, eh, no thanks.
Oh, I agree. Always surround yourself with positive people, too. That's one of, I mean, you have so many incredible qualities. But one thing I always love and admire about you is when I see you, you radiate light and kindness and happiness. No, all the, and so such a generous, supportive person, but also a generous, supportive friend. And that's who everyone should be surrounding themselves with.
You know what? I wake up pretty darn happy every day. I'm happy when I open my eyes. I'm like, oh, it's a new day. What's going to happen today? You know, I don't carry the burdens of yesterday. Now, I'm not saying I don't worry about stuff every now and then. I do sometimes just have a – I'm an empath, so I get a tightness in my chest when things aren't copacetic in my world around me. And I, you know, I want to get through that because I want to get back to happy. Let's get back to – that's my default is happy. My default isn't depressed and sad and miserable and worrying. Like, I'll go to those places, but my default is to get back to happy. Enjoy living in that space because the more I give out, it just comes back. And it's not Pollyanna where I'm thinking like everything is great. Like, I have had some terrible days, you know, tears on the floor, fetal position. Like, that's real. That's life. And, you know, my husband's been through cancer twice. Mm-hmm. That's hard. You know, Taking care of someone, anybody who's a caretaker that's been through cancer or illness, it is hard because in that space, you are abandoned. Everything goes. The person who's sick has to do everything to take care of them. They have to go inward. They have no energy for anything but heal and cure and take care of oneself. So that leaves the people on the outside, the wife, the family, the mother, the daughter, whoever's around, to take on everything they were handling and what they were handling themselves. So now you've got burdens of everything they need to do, you're doing, plus everything your family needs that they were meeting, the needs that they were meeting for your family. Now you're doing, I was doing that. Like, the outreach, the communication, what's happening at work, the people, the employees, the kids, the school, the parents, just, and then you are last. I was last. And I felt like I hit menopause. The first time Glenn got cancer diagnosis, I went into menopause within a couple months. It was like early. And I think my body just was under the stress of there's no love for Mindy. It's for everyone else. And
you got it all at once.
It's hard. So I have such a deep admiration and respect for caretakers because it's a hard job.
So how did you build yourself back up?
You know, I rely on a lot of things. I rely on prayer. I rely on my family, my network, and my dear friends who are with me even today. You know, I've never been one to – I don't want to carry this backpack. You might call me a little lazy. I want someone else to help me carry the load.
I don't call that lazy. So, I call that community. I
think, it is.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful film out. I hope you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen it. It's The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse. It's based on a book. It was a best-selling book, and it won an Oscar for Best Animated Short. It is one of the most – I just got chills thinking. It's one of the most beautiful films I think I've ever seen in an animated form. The messages are deep and so profound. I watched it with my daughter, who's 17 the other day, and she's like, I haven't cried in a film in so long. And it was like 30 minutes. It's 35 minutes long. It is so profound, but there's this phrase in there where the little boy asked the horse, he says, what was the bravest thing you've ever said? And the horse said, help.
Oh, love that.
Because asking for help is not giving up. It's actually refusing to give up.
It's the hardest thing. You know, we always talk about social media and you know, what it's doing to our society. And there's so many positives, you know.
I am addicted. I admit.
No, me too. And
very much.
And the connection and getting new ideas for things and just pure entertainment sometimes.
So good.
And all of it. But then also I feel like, you know, there's a piece of it that, you know, that's hard for especially, I think, women. To watch other women, and it makes them feel because you know you're watching someone's highlight reel,
mm-hmm.
and you're not
filtered
seeing
face.
And the filtered face and the highlight reel, and they're not seeing the bad days and the bad thing because they're only seeing the highlight reel, and I feel like it stops people from asking for help.
Yeah, I think they do. I think what happens is we forget that other people suffer too, and I always say I've done a lot of posts on LinkedIn lately, and I just you know you never know what the person next to you is dealing with. They could be suffering in silence. So that moment sometimes a stranger says, hey, how are you? And actually say, I mean it, how are you? you know, and actually listen. Like, so often we throw that off as like a, hey, how's it going? And you walk by. But if you really stop and look and listen, you can see a burden. You can see, and sometimes just like, hey, it's going to be okay. Let me give you a hug. This too shall pass. Little bits and tidbits of kindness like that go so far in someone's
day.
So
far. And also just reaching out to people in your world. 3 weeks ago or something, I just woke up and I just was not good. Mm. There was stuff going on. It was just not a great day. And I woke up and I thought, I'm going to go to the gym. And I went to my boxing class, and I go to this place called Box House. Have you ever been there?
No.
So the guy that owns it, Andre, he's the loveliest guy. So it's his business. And he was teaching this particular class. And we did the whole thing and I left and I didn't have time to say anything to him. Mm. So I got in my car, whatever. And I thought about texting and I went, got busy with something. And then like an hour later, I went, no, I'm going to text him. So I texted Andre and I go, I just want you to know that I came into that class feeling terrible and I left feeling great. And your energy and your spirit and your everything just really fixed me today. And it's exactly what I needed. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Wow.
And he wrote me back like the longest text, basically saying something that was going on with him and how he can't believe how that was the exact moment he needed to hear something like positive. And not, it was just like one of those nice things. But if I thought, he probably doesn't need to hear it, or, you know, no, you always reach out.
Now, I always say that there's a 5-second rule. If you think of something, do it and act on it within 5 seconds, or that moment will flee.
I like
that.
And
it's just like, if you're like, I got to call this person, pick up the phone and call. Oh, I'm going to work out. Get your butt out of bed. Go towards the closet. Change. I probably shouldn't eat that. Give yourself a donut. Don't eat it. Yeah, I'm going to eat it. No, but I found that if you don't act on 5 seconds, it's probably going to pass. And I think that was so beautiful you to say that, because you didn't have to. He didn't ask for it. You didn't know. You just reached out and said, I just want to have gratitude. You stand
yes.
in gratitude.
But it was also, he needed it too. And so, how beautiful, just really nice. And that's why we're in this world, is to touch each other's lives like
that.
Okay. So Brooks a senior?
Oh, yes. My daughter is graduating. I can't believe it. That's where we met in preschool.
Preschool.
I'll have you know.
Yeah, we met in preschool.
17 years ago. Oh my goodness.
Is that crazy?
Wow.
It had to be longer. No, 17.
Brooke is 17. She would have been in school around 2, so maybe
15 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, she's graduating, and I've got a freshman coming up. I say I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old. It's been a challenge. You know what book I love, which is The Manual? If anyone's got teenage daughters, this is the book I recommend. It's called Untangled by Lisa D'Amore, Raising Teenage Daughters Through the 7 Transitions into Adulthood.
Oh.
It was my Bible, Untangled. I have it on audiobook. I have highlighted every page in the book. Like, it's in my Bible. And there's so much
really?
I learned in there about parents. I felt like I had no manual. What do you do when they're being hateful? And there's so many things about children. You know, they're like, it's like, say you're in a swimming pool and they go out and they swim and that's them trying to be independent and they're out. Then they start to drown a little bit. Then they come back to the edge of the pool. You're the edge of the pool. They're
right.
hanging on tight. And you're like, oh, my baby's back. They love me. And then guess what?
They jump right
they
back in.
Push off. Off the yeah. side of the pool with such force, you're left bruised and damaged, and they go out and swim again until they're ready to come back to the edge and kind of hang on for some solid, you know, comfort and safety. And I just had to be like, okay, she's going back to the center of the pool now. And I just, it's not about me. This is them. My daughter's like, Mom, you've changed in the last 10 years. I'm like, oh, what? You used to love me and I used to be nice. Yeah, you're not, you're just annoying.
You're like, new breaking news, that ain't a me thing. That's a you thing.
But how does the undeveloped frontal lobe know that? They won't know until.
It's hard though, man. And with so many kids and different personalities and different, and you know, the kids, they just walk through life differently, all of them.
My daughters have said to me, Mom, you don't know what it was like. I mean, you weren't raised in our world. It was very different from your world. You didn't have social media and Snapchat and all this way of knowing. And I said, doesn't that stress you out? And they said, it stresses me out not knowing what everybody's doing, because at least I know what they're doing. They can be like, hey, this is what we're doing. Send pictures and you feel somewhat included. And I was like, I almost don't want to know.
No.
I don't think that's it.
No. Back in the day, we got a break. You went home. You got a break. You need
everything.
A break. But we are the same way. Because look how you and I were just saying. We're addicted to our social media. We go. So when you wake up in the morning, what's your morning practice?
Well, I read somewhere that says, if you pick your phone up before you say good morning to your spouse, you have a serious addiction. So I have made
I'm thinking.
I know, because it's like the alarm goes off. And there it is. And I try to turn off the alarm and say, good morning, honey, and give a little snuggle, and then I'm on my phone. So at least I've got that stuff. I admit I have an addiction. Right. I admit it. So it's first.
What do you look at?
Well, the first thing, I'm like, who's texting me? Are the kids okay? You know, call the kids. Are you guys awake? If I don't go down and wake them up. And then I'll just, what's my calendar for the day? What do I need to do? And then it's like, what TikTok did my dad send me at 2 o'clock in the morning? And then I open his text, and then I'm in a deep dive of, and then I'm late, and I'm like, God, why did I? It's a time vacuum. It sucks my life away. But yeah, that's kind of my morning. I mean, and then Glenn and I, we love our shower time. We take showers together. Love it. We have seats in the shower.
Okay, back it up. So Mindy and her husband Glenn bought this incredible home and did a bit of a remodel on it.
A little bit.
So. Did you make, because I have to tell you, so I told you we're moving.
Yes.
And God. I've tried to buy 2 houses and I've lost both.
Oh,
so we
God,
need a new, the market's crazy. But you know what? I feel like it's the universe doing me a favor right now with what's going on.
Right. One will show when it's
time. We're fine. But we had to get out of the bachelor pad we're living in, which was the last minute place. And so we're moving into this house and this couple did the most beautiful remodel on this little house. It's on the water. It's super cute. The primary bedroom, the shower, can hold 12 people.
It's a party.
What? Who's going in there? How big is your shower, Mindy? I've been in your house.
It's not. It doesn't hold 12 people. My old one held 12 people. This one is like 3-4 max. I mean, there's a lot of jets. You know, we put little seats down and we sit in there. And that's when we connect what's happening in the day. Because, you know, we work together. So yeah. We do that. But so we talk about that and the work and the kids and travel. What's coming up? That's kind of our one-on-one time because neither one of us can be on our phone.
Because we're in the shower. See, that would drive me insane because then he would say something that I have to remember.
I know.
And then I wouldn't be able to write it down. You probably need like a waterproof whiteboard.
They have white whiteboards. I've ordered them. There's like a pad of paper that you can write in water and you can take notes. I've had it in my shower. It's like a pen that writes in water. Because normally I'm writing in the foggy, you know, writing my notes. So I can, if it steams up, I'm like, oh yeah, I got to call that person. Because if I don't write it down, it's gone.
That is gone. So funny.
That's our us time, uninterrupted, untechnology.
That's good. So. We tend to hang out. Well, now we move, so I'm telling you, we got to get
find
out of the
a new hangout place.
We need a new hangout, but right usually our hangout place isn't in the shower, but it's in the bathroom because we always have like chairs and little table and stuff.
Bathroom's been awesome. You got the TV, the fireplace.
We didn't do a TV in the last house. No, you know why? Because in the one we built before that, I had a TV in the bathroom, and what I found was the kids were younger then, but they would just come in and turn on the TV, and I don't want it.
No,
so I didn't have one in the bathroom. I didn't do it.
No, I think it's smart.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. There's so many other ways to be distracted. I mean, it almost forces you to be present with your partner. It's sad that we have to do that, but we need moments to be forced to be present with one another because I think as human psychology, we technically will go towards the addictive thing that is before us. And so taking that step to resist that and actually be present is very difficult. And getting more and more difficult, I notice. We get fidgety. Have you ever tried to go a whole day without your phone?
Oh, yeah. You ever leave your phone in the house and you get in the car?
Oh, my God.
I'm just running to blah, blah, blah. And then you're like...
I literally am having palpitations.
But I'm going to hang my hat on the fact, this is totally a lie, but on the fact that we're mothers.
Yes.
And so we need to know where our kids are.
At all times.
See, my thing is, Terry and I are really good at alone time.
I know you guys go out to dinner. You go out and do stuff a lot together.
A lot. And even
really
when we
healthy.
Have even when we have dinner at home with the kids, you know, they don't sit that long.
Yeah.
So we'll sit down for dinner and they're there for a solid, you know, 30 minutes. And Terry and I will sit for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
At the table.
That's great.
Yeah. So even if we're at home or we go out a lot, you know, we stay very connected. My problem is, and this is about the kids, is that so if I'm sitting at the table, I'm turning my phone right now.
Yeah.
With the screen side up because I want to know if there's a problem with anything.
Right.
But you know, if someone texts you, the light goes on.
It's very distracting.
And then it's distracting. And then Terry's irritated and he's a doctor. And so
he also needs to.
But what he pretty much does, he's pretty good about this. What he pretty much does is he keeps it face down and just checks it every so often to make sure there's no problem. But like then you can see something.
Yeah.
Then you go, oh, I just need to answer this one quick thing.
And then you're like, oh, no. You know what? That's been a challenge for our family as long as I can remember. And now I'm just like, phones off the table. There is nothing and no one in this world that needs to talk to us right now that can't wait 30 minutes. Nobody needs us. In 30 minutes, whatever's happening, And if they really need, you know, they'll find someone else. They'll buzz it four or five times. You can also do that thing. I do this on my kids' phones, the emergency bypass. Mm-hmm. So I'll call them in class. Mom! It's because they have it on silence.
Oh, right.
I want them to know I'm calling and I need it. But I won't do it when they're in class. But emergency bypass, you can do it on any specific number.
And is that the thing, like if you call more than one time, it'll
go
through?
Yeah, you call the first time. Well, actually, theirs on emergency bypass doesn't. But if you have it on do not disturb, it will ring to voicemail first, and then it'll call you the second time.
I see.
If you call more than once in like a 2-minute time period. But the emergency bypass, no.
It just goes right through.
It goes, and
see,
it's not
silent. See, if I'm sitting with Terry and the four kids,
yeah,
I never look at my phone.
Right.
Ever.
That's great.
It could be in my purse.
Why would you need to? All that you need to care about is in front of you.
That's it. So when everyone's at the table, I'm good. Do you have Life 360 with your kids?
I live with Life 360.
I love Life 360. Whoever invented Life 360, thank you.
I got so busted the other day, though.
Why?
Because I'm on it, of course.
Yeah.
My husband calls me. He's like, where are you? What have you been doing? I'm like, oh, well, I ran to the store, and then I stopped by this place. And he goes, you were at the Champagne Boutique for 3 hours. I'm like, he's like, what were you doing for 3 hours? I go, we were catching up. She told me she had this thing, and we were talking about the kids, and he didn't know I had like 5 bags in the back of the car. I love that little boutique, but I'm telling you, I get lost in there. But he will freaking... I saw where you were for 3 hours.
That's so funny.
So
I can't hide anymore. With Terry, I remember when we started the Life 360 thing, he was like, I'm not going on. I'm like, listen, the kids won't go on. If everyone's got
to
be on board. And he said, you know what, honey? Sometimes, he goes, I don't have that much alone time. He goes, sometimes I like to sit outside Starbucks and drink my coffee. I go, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I said, but it's just for the family, whatever. But what I realized was I understand that because I try not to with the kids.
Right.
And with Terry, too. There's no invasion of privacy. I mean, I always know where they all are. It's not really that big a deal. But with Nikki, you know, in L.A., I will check to see, you know, he told me he had a big test. I check to see if he went out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see.
I love it. You can see everything. How fast they're going. How many times they picked up their phone.
But you know what's good about it? If Terry's at the gym,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to annoy him.
Right. If I know where he is, I'm like, I don't want to blow up your phone.
Or he doesn't usually go out with, like, guy friends very mm-hmm. often. And when he does, I'm thrilled. Like, I love it for him. And I don't want to text him or bug him or whatever. But if I want to go to bed, like, honestly, it was Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
He went out to dinner with his friend Scott. And I was so tired and I wanted to go to bed early. And I was just curious if he was on his way home.
Right.
So I looked at Life 360 and I saw he was still at the restaurant and I thought, forget it. I'm going to bed.
Right.
But I didn't text him.
Right. Well, you knew where he was. It's like there's comfort in it
but
without having to bother them.
I would have waited up.
Right.
If I saw he was driving.
Right. Of course. Like he's still there. You're not going to wait because
then
you know he's driving.
Then I was like, forget it.
Now what the kids are doing, my little one pulled a fast one the other day. She texted me at like 10:30 and was like, hi, Mom. Okay, I'm over at so-and-so's house, and we're going to bed. It's 10:30. I'm like, my little, you know, antenna
Bing!
Went up.
Yeah.
You've never been to bed before midnight on a Saturday. I do not believe you at all. And I almost texted the mom and said, hey, I know the girls are spending the night. I just want to know if they're inside, because I know the new thing is they leave their phones at home so they can't be tracked, and they sneak out of the house. So it looks like they're home when you check on them, and yet they're out running around the neighborhood with no phone, no form of communication, no way to track them. They could be picked up, snatched, trafficked, what have you, without you knowing where they were, ever.
Insane.
And that's exactly what happened. The mom called me the next. She's like, oh, my God, my husband heard something. We checked the cameras. The girls left at 10:30. They came back at 2:45. She's like, they are in so much trouble. No more sleepovers here. And I was just like, oh, my antenna told me. I should have listened. But now she's got the ones that suffers the consequences of that, not me. You know, I'm actually kind of liking the consequences.
Yeah. So what is the consequence for
something sleepovers.
Like that?
No more sleepovers. They can be at our house.
For what? Forever?
Well, until I decide that she's trustworthy because she's had a couple, you know. She is one of the most clever children I've ever encountered. So I told her, you should be a trial lawyer. I lose every argument with her. She comes at me from angles I couldn't even think of. And I stand there and I can't smile because I'm so mad. But I'm laughing at the same because I'm like, frick, she's right. I don't disagree with her viewpoint, but the answer's still no, and that was not okay. I don't care how you justify it. which is really justifiable. But so it's really been difficult because she's highly intelligent.
But you're a permissive parent. And I mean, I don't mean it like overly permissive, right. But I mean, you're a permissive parent. Like you allow your children to go out.
Yeah.
We always used to sneak out of the house because we had to come home really ridiculously early.
Right, right.
And so it was a rebellious thing.
Of course. Well, I try to find a happy medium. Like yeah. 10 o'clock. I want the phones off on weeknights. The older one can stay out till midnight on the weekends. The younger one, I want home before 11. I'm like, you're 14. Nothing happens after 11. 14-year-olds, you don't need to be out past 11.
No,
and you're
I
not
agree.
Driving, and that's not safe anyway. So that's kind of where I've remained.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
This spring, Hyundai introduces the all-electric IONIQ 6. It is a range of up to 360 miles and can charge from 10% to 80% in as little as 18 minutes on a DC ultra-fast charger. But are there any drawbacks to the EV lifestyle? Yes, there are. You can unlock and start it with a digital key, which means you'll have to get rid of that giant keychain that holds a special place in your heart. You know, the one with every key in your life since high school. Another one. Gas station beef jerky. I'm talking about the shredded kind. Oh, wait, you can still get that. Scratch that one. The all-electric Hyundai IONIQ 6. When it comes to the minimal drawback electric vehicle lifestyle, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Extremely limited availability. EPA estimated 361-mile range for IONIQ 6 SE long-range RWD with full charge battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I don't know how you feel about, how do you feel about the teenage drinking situation?
Oh my God, I was just talking about this yesterday.
Because I'm really like conflicted on it.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going to Cabo for spring break.
Okay.
All the kids do their thing because it's, a lot of them are legal because they're seniors, but then the younger ones are like, Mexico doesn't care. They just want your money. They're not going to card anyone. They're going to serve everyone from 12 up.
And it's just they like, serve everyone.
So I was like, you know, my husband's a little more like, as long as they're honest, I want to be present. And if they're doing it in front and we can watch them, there's that. I'm like, it's not good for their brain. It's illegal. We're not in our USA. We're not at home. It's unprotected. Who knows what they're
going
to do?
Are you going with them?
Yes. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be lurking, as they say. Don't lurk.
One of my girlfriends, Susie, has a bodyguard.
Oh, that's
in
smart.
Cabo.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you their name.
Please do.
And they take the kids around.
Okay. That might be a good idea.
So my kids didn't do that in high school, mm-hmm. to be honest. But this year we were there for – Nikki was there for spring break. He's a freshman in college. So it was a little bit different. But my kids have never been like partiers like that.
That's great.
Which is great. I'm not saying – I mean, Max really doesn't drink at all,
right.
at all. Nikki enjoys. But my whole thing with them, with every aspect of – life has always been, I'll give you, you know, as much freedom
yeah.
as you can handle. And if I see you can't handle it, I'm taking it back. But with the drinking thing, again, they didn't drink in high school at all.
That's, how did you do that?
That was just them.
It's just wonderful.
But I'll tell you, I was worried.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to go to college and implode on themselves. And my feeling on
That's
drinking.
That's what I don't want them to do.
My
either.
Feeling on drinking is this. We all did it.
Yep.
They're going to do it.
That's my husband.
And I'd rather have them
be honest about it.
Not just that, but fuck up a little when they're home,
yeah.
when I can help
yeah.
them
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
take care of them.
Yeah.
Then wait until they go to college somewhere and you have no eyeballs on them and you have no idea what's going on. So I have to say, this might be unpopular. I'm sorry. I'm okay with it, but.
There's a but.
There's always a but.
There's a caveat.
You know, where are they drinking and who is driving?
Well, this is my rule. This is what I've kind of resigned to it a little bit. I say, look, I don't want you drinking any drink that you haven't opened yourself, whether it's the Truly or a beer or what.
A White Claw, whatever it is.
Nobody pours you a drink. No one hands you a drink. You have opened it. You've popped the top. That's the only thing that will allow me to feel a little more okay with this because there's stuff being poured and dropped and I don't want that to happen. So that's where
me and my friend Sarah, you know my friend Sarah Cohen?
Yeah, your buddy from ever.
Yes. So, we were on your show
on
together.
Our podcast. Yes.
So, Sarah and I, from when Max and Ryan, both girls, were babies, like we met when they were 15 months old. Mm-hmm. From that point on, we have been telling them all these years, listen, back in our day, we'd go to clubs and we'd get a drink and we'd put it on the table and we'd go dancing. And the biggest concern was that someone would take our drink.
Like roofie you or take
No, no, you
drink.
Didn't
oh,
worry
you,
about it.
You didn't worry about roofies back
no,
then.
No, you just worried that someone would take your drink that you paid for that you left on the table to go dancing.
Right.
You weren't worried about a roofie.
That's true.
And
that's
we said,
so true.
It's different. I don't care. You don't take a bottle. You don't take a water punch.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nope.
No, nothing.
Don't leave anything unattended.
No.
It's hard to get through the mind of a small person that doesn't have the brain developed yet to understand the consequence of that. That's what we're here for. The bumpers and the annoying advice and whatever. I say I'm going to advise the
but
heck out of them.
But how about this? Would you serve other kids alcohol?
No. That is where I draw a hard line. We are never going to be the family that has alcohol at our house. Too much liability.
Yes.
I don't want to open ourselves to that.
By the way, just so everyone knows, a couple things that you don't know until you have teenagers, is that number one, if your kids have a party in your house and there's alcohol, whether you gave it or not, whether you're there or not, whether you have knowledge or not, and someone gets in an accident, someone gets hurt, you are liable.
That's true.
Period.
Yep.
Here's the other thing. Your kid drives and they have a permit. Do you know this one?
Which one?
If you have a permit, if your child has a permit and you're in the car and you're above
you.
The blood, you, the parent, is above the blood alcohol limit and you're permitted driver is driving you, you get a DUI.
Well, because you need to be aware because they're not a licensed driver.
That's
that makes
right.
sense. That makes sense.
Because if there's a problem, you got to get in the car.
Well, I don't drink anymore. After Cabo last year, I quit.
Yeah. Why'd you decide to quit drinking?
Two things. First of all, I wanted to be an example to my kids. I wanted to be healthier. Actually, more than two things. I really wanted to get more healthy because I don't feel good when I drink. The only thing I was reserved, tequila was kind of my choice. Clear tequila with some lime. I don't go like crazy, but I never always feel great. Alcohol and I just don't mix. So that was not that hard of a decision. But also my husband, he doesn't drink because of the surgery and the cancer. He's free, obviously totally healthy, but he can't eat or drink. So why would I need to go out and drink? There's no fun in me being like, hey, let me have some wine, and you're just sitting there. You know, so we find other things to do, and it's not drinking. And it's fine. I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm always can be a designated driver. I'm always in control, and I stay more clear-headed. I feel better. Skin feels better. There's a lot of reasons for me.
Yeah, you look fantastic.
It just made me feel a lot better. So that's kind of where I stood with that.
So how difficult is that with Glenn?
You know what? It's a life we've become used to. You get used to it because it is.
Can you explain?
So when he had his cancer, his squamous cell cancer, he had it back in 2014. He had radiation and then he had chemotherapy. They got rid of it. 4 years later, they found another lesion on his epiglottis. Now, for most people don't know what that is. That's like a little, it's like a tongue or a flap. When you swallow, it goes back and closes your windpipe so that the food can go into the esophagus because they're kind of two tubes right in front of each other.
Right. So it's like, you know, when you start choking a little bit because some food or liquid has touched the windpipe, just touch it.
Touched
it will send
your vocal cord.
Send you into a coughing fit.
Yes.
So that little epiglottis goes back and forth.
Very important.
Yes.
And your second defense against choking are your vocal cords. So when the epiglottis is gone and you got nothing, it's just your vocal cord. So if he eats, it'll sit on top of his vocal cords and it goes down into a trough. So he can't, it doesn't just slip back down into the esophagus. It stays in this trough and he has to forcefully cough it up and out. So anyway, he doesn't eat now because when he did it, he did that show on Discovery and he ate and ended up in the hospital like 4 days, shut down production. And he's like, this isn't the story. The story isn't me eating. The story is about the building of the business. So he said, I'm not going to eat again for 3 months. For 90 days, he didn't put anything in his mouth. He tasted the barbecue because he opened a barbecue restaurant, but he would spit it out. And he can't eat without getting aspiration pneumonia. So that is why he can't eat anymore. So he's joked. My husband has such a great attitude. He says, I will probably live longer than any cancer patient because I'm eating vegan, organic, vegetable protein. I'm so healthy. Like these shakes are so healthy. He's maintained a good weight. He's got consistent calories.
He looks great.
Protein. Yeah, it's the best it's the best I've ever been.
But how do you handle that emotionally? I mean, you're both such incredibly positive, happy people.
Because
I would think, like, if I look at Terry, I think that in Terry would cause depression.
It could. I'll tell you what thing about Glenn, which is I admire so deeply, is his ability to change his mind on anything. He has more mind control than any person I've ever met. He is able to withstand more pain than anyone I've ever encountered. And he has such an ability to say, I am going to make this okay. Because if I don't, I'll fall into depression. I could be crying every day. I could be bitter. I could be angry. Here's his new fetish. It's kind of funny. I know you were talking about this in another podcast, watching people eat. You know how weird?
Yeah.
Well, he now cooks. He's been watching food shows. He's been watching Beat Bobby Flay and Open Table. And
he's cooking.
He's cooking now. He's become this chef at the house. He gets all the ingredients, and he gets to sit down and see all of us eat because he loves to see what us enjoy, what he created. How is it? How was it? Did you like it? How were the flavors? How was the spices? And he's amazing. Like, I don't have to cook. He's cooking now. That's kind of he goes, I'm gonna order something for you, and I'm going to feed you. It's kind of his new thing.
I love
I'm
it.
Like, okay, feed me. Feed me.
You guys must have a booming sex life.
It's pretty vital.
I'm going to say, once you take the food, drugs, alcohol, everything off the table, what's left? It's sex.
Telling you.
You know
how they say when you lose one sense, the others are heightened?
Yeah.
He's lost the tasting, the drinking. And so all of that endorphins and dopamine has flowed into another area, which is a little bit challenging at times, especially as a menopausal woman. I'm like, can I please have a break?
Oh, my God.
But I love
so
that
funny.
After 20 years, he can't get his hands off me. He
Isn't
loves
that
me.
The best?
He's like, I find you more attractive than any woman. I love you more than I loved you the first day. He just loves everything. He loves my curves. He loves all that. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. I feel very blessed. Very grateful.
Me so. Too. When I started gaining the menopause weight, Terry was like, it's fat Hetty. I like her. Call me that. No, they like a little voluptuousness.
He always called me, you're a voluptuous woman. I love your curves. And when I was pregnant, when my tatas were like out to Texas, he was like,
in heaven.
Can you get pregnant again? Hells no. But he loved it. I feel grateful. Like, who doesn't want your husband to want you like that? I mean, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's the best. Jamie Greenberg was on the show yesterday, and she was talking about she met her husband in college. They've been together, you know, 25 years almost. And it's so nice. We got lucky.
Yeah, really. Got good guys.
Yeah.
You guys are darling. I love watching you and your dynamic. You're best friends, and you can tell.
Yeah, you guys
you
too.
Really.
But that's the basis of it, isn't it? Because people ask, you know, how did you do well?
Right.
I mean, how did you find your person?
Right. Honesty, open, everything. Everything's on the table. There's a thing we always say, you know, when someone goes, oh, well, never mind. You know, when you're going to say something and you're going, we have this rule. There is no never mind. What were you going to say? And I'm like, oh, we're going to play that game now? We've never played that game in 20 years. If you are on the verge of saying something and you make one little noise that indicates you're about to say something, it's like, what was that? I don't even have to push. He's like, ugh. And sometimes he doesn't want to say it because he knows it's going to get him in trouble.
Yeah.
And it will. And he's like, you told me not to. I shouldn't have said. I go, no, I'm glad you were honest. Well, let's just get it out, you know, because that's just our rule. There's no never mind.
I love that because it's all about the communication. And I found, and you and I have talked about this before, but I have found that getting older, being together so long, the communication so good. And I'm not saying we never fight or anything like that.
No,
everyone bickers, of course. But we fight about stupid shit, honestly. I don't remember us having like a serious, serious fight. Maybe a couple in our time, but usually nothing. Like just irritating each other, whatever it is.
Been there.
But I think with the communication and honestly, like we both do, doing podcasts and reading so much and trying to learn and stay evolved.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible how you find your communication actually gets better, the sex gets better, the relationship gets better?
And another thing, Heather, that I am very much a component of is I'm not the jealous type. I'm actually the one that'll be like, oh my God, look at her. Oh my God, look at the tatas on that. That's your type over there. I love to point them out. I have no jealous bone in my body. I know how my husband feels. And the more open I am about him getting to like look at the buffet, if you will, I'm like, oh, doesn't that look good? Oh man, she's hot. You know, she's your type. Look at this. Like, he's like, oh yeah, she's hot. I wonder if she'll like, you know, would she date me? I'm like, maybe back in the day. I mean, we have a really fun, open dialogue like that, which has been fun.
But it's fun. That's kind of sexy. Yeah. You know, I don't get that with Terry because he sees naked women all day. So he's really like.
You see him touching tits on TV. So what can you do?
But thank God he's very turned on by me. But that's like a different. Other women are. When he sees other, if you asked him, if he was sitting here and you asked him what he thought about other women, he would say, I see them all as consults and post-ops. That's all.
He's sizing them up for what he
No, meaning like, if you're a woman, you're coming into my office soon or you just came, I'm not interested. Like, It's not his thing.
That's you know, it's everybody's different. Obviously, we're in mortgages, so there's nothing sexy really about that.
Yeah. All right. So, so does Brooke know where she's going?
Not yet. We're maybe Utah. She likes University of Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because she's a
so many of the kids
Hall.
Love Utah.
She loves outdoors. She loves snowboarding.
Yeah,
her boyfriend's going there. So
yeah,
maybe.
I saw a photo she posted the other day. Very cute.
Yeah, they're darling. They're
but I want
so
her to marry Nikki though.
Oh, well, she's not done. She's only 17.
Yeah, okay, okay. I'm just putting that out there. I believe.
Manifest. Wouldn't that be fun if we were in laws?
It would be the best ever. I believe in arranged marriages. I'm just saying.
That. Why not?
Right?
Right?
Our families are so good
we
together.
We know each other the best. We know them the best.
Wouldn't we plan the best wedding?
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Over the top. Oh. Speaking of, I have these little ribbons, which are an inspiration from you. Look, I got my name put on them because you.
Oh.
Had all
it.
Your personalized, so I.
What'd you
and then
bring
I got you,
me?
Oh my God! I just have to show you. So
this, okay, let me see.
This I was in the airport in Portland Airport when I was on my way here, and I just got you a couple things that I really love. Women are effing magic. I love that. Of course, be kind.
Love that.
And I am in a group of girls. We call ourselves the Beehive because bees stick together. They're a very powerful group. Bees save the world. We need bees. And you mentioned your grandma.
Yeah. So,
and I also got you this, a little tiny bee to put in your wallet. It's a tiny bee. Just to protect you. Here.
By the way, this I might cry from this.
Oh, here's what it says. A bumblebee cannot fly. This is what I love. According to laws of aerodynamics, the bumblebee cannot fly. The body is too heavy for its wings, and that's the simple reason why. But the bumblebee does not know that fact, so it flies anyway for all to see. Remember this when you're losing faith or hope. God's proof that the impossible can be.
Will you send that to me?
Yes, I will.
I'm going to post
so
that.
Sweet.
So my grandma,
tell me.
Whom I was very close with. It was named Beatrice. And so Max's middle name is Beatrix after her.
Okay, that's so
but
weird.
Bees are very important. Like even on the etched window and that in my house,
yeah,
my last house, there was a little bee. Remember there was a little bee that was for my grandma?
Oh.
So I love, love, love bees. That's so special. Thank you.
There's
I
your
love
bee.
That. Thank
and
you.
Then I got this was from just kind of a birthday gift, which I never got to.
I love
to.
That you had personalized
so
ribbon done.
I know. Look at that. I had to be like
isn't
Heather.
That here? Wait, look in that
WWHD.
Camera.
WWHD. What would Heather do? WWHDD.
I love it. This is why I need a new house because right now I got nothing.
Well, this is you can put this in your house. This is the girls. These are the power ladies because women are effing magic. I printed a couple copies of stuff.
Oh, I love these.
Those
oh, my
fun.
God. We had
oh,
the
why
best.
Is that on the back?
We had the best dinner party at Mindy's house.
I think she printed it on. But that's cute.
Oh.
But this one is the one that got all of us in there. The couples. It's
oh
so
God.
Cute.
I love it.
It was a dinner.
And of course, our dear friend Heather Almusa was pregnant.
Yes, and it hadn't been out yet. She's
no,
hiding her
so
belly
she had
in there.
To take all the pictures from behind.
That was so exciting.
Oh, I
her
love
baby's
that.
So cute.
Oh, that's so
there.
Special. Oh,
something
my God. I love that.
I have to tell you a funny story.
That's going
to
go. I know exactly where it's going to go. It's going to go. My new rental has like the cutest
Yay.
Little like place for exactly
photos.
This.
That's
I love
good.
It. I love it.
I have to tell you a funny story. Your birthday in L.A. at the Cut. What's it called? The Cut? What's that
at Catch Steak.
The Catch Steak.
Well, first
okay.
of all, I have to tell you. So the birthday video is now live and you can go to my YouTube channel
okay.
and go watch it.
Okay,
you can
I can't
see
wait to see it.
Mindy. And now look at Mindy right now. Look in the camera.
I was very different at that party. You
my
said,
gorgeous brunette friend came blonde.
I love wigs. I love wigs. I love a theme. Give me a theme. I am game. I'm going all out. I love wigs. I love to dress up. Role play, you know, that whole thing. So I
have friends that do that who have like props and glasses. I need to get
so,
on that maybe.
So fun though.
I think Terry would laugh.
You
at
look
me.
So cute. I loved your hair that night. I loved the hairstyle you did that night.
Thank you.
But this a funny story is you gave us those gift bags to go and we were literally staying in LA flying to Cabo the next day. We were going to a wedding.
Oh,
so you gave
no.
us these nice gift bags and my carry-on is full and I'm packing it and I'm like, oh, these things are a little airy. There's too much air in this bag, so I'm gonna have to take them out of the bag. I didn't know what it was. So I open it up. I'm like, whoa, what was in that bag? Whatever those fun little treats were, you know, I'm like, I would have been in a Mexican prison had I taken those over the border.
Oh, that is so funny. All right. So as some of you may know, part of my birthday, we had Drew Martin there rolling joints.
Yes.
But the thing about those joints, they're really, there's so little THC in them.
I don't think the Mexican police would have agreed with that. Nor
I know,
the dogs
but
at
do
the
you
border.
Think they would really stop
yes,
you for that much marijuana?
At it, that anything in Mexico is a felony. Like you're in trouble. So the housekeeper got a really nice.
Well, at least you could take the chocolate Oreos.
I took the Oreos.
So you were supposed to smoke the joint and then eat the Oreos.
Oh, my God. It was such a fun gift. And I'm like, oh, my God, Heather, that would have been a story. Can you be my one phone call, Heather? Because you put me here.
This is your fault. Come get me from the prison. Un momento.
Un momento, por favor. Ayúdame, ayúdame. Okay, speaking of getting the munchies.
Yes.
My friend, Michelle, who is my best friend of 25 years, was on my podcast, picked me up and brought this as a gift. I have never had anything like this. You like churros?
Yeah.
You like croissants?
Yes.
How about churros and croissants together in the most incredible display of deliciousness with cream filling or Nutella filling from Pascal's in Woodland Hill? I ate one in the car and had, what do you call it when your mouth, like,
it's has an orgasm?
Mouthgasm. Oralgasm.
Is that a mouth?
It was an
oralgasm. I like mouthgasm.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
It was good for me.
I needed
one of those things that you get.
You needed
afterwards.
My joint.
Oh my God.
There is a place in West Hampton Beach that makes, they make jelly donut croissants.
Oh God.
So they take a croissant, they put jelly. Are you like a jelly donut person?
I love jelly donuts. But look at this, Nutella on the inside of a croissant.
That's,
churro.
That is pretty gorgeous.
And then there's cream on the inside. I brought these for your team.
That is so sweet. All right, we're going to dive into that.
Oh, my God. Mm.
That is so – you're so sweet. Oh, my God. Too much stuff. I love this picture, and I love my bee so much.
Be kind. It's all
I
about
love
being
it.
Kind.
So what's next for you? So you have one kid leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
You have one left, but
that
you still have 4 years. So I understand that. But, like, Terry and I have been in the pull of –
empty nesting?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I mean, does that scare you or does it excite you or both?
I think I'm 3 years away from empty nest because my daughter's still a freshman. So I got a good amount of time and she's going to be enough for, she's like four children all at once.
Yeah.
She's
triplets. Well, I mean, I still have a sixth grader.
Oh my God.
So cry for me.
You got a ways to go.
Cry for me.
Well, the one child I have at home is my husband. I just want to mention this and plug this really fast.
Yes.
Got his memoir coming out, Integrity, available on Amazon. It'll be out in May. But it's all about the silly stories he's told. You'll probably heard them. It's all the reveal of the ridiculous ways he got to be who he was.
Wait, let's have Glenn on the show.
Oh, he should. It's really exciting. He finally did it. We've been trying to get him to do this for years. So we'll be promoting that. And we've got the businesses doing really well. Kind Lending, we've really like stepped into a new stratosphere, which is very exciting.
Oh,
and
that's great.
I'm the Chief Kindness Officer, which is the most exciting title I've ever held. And I love it. I love what it stands for.
So what does your day-to-day kindness look like?
I call every new hire when they're starting within the week of the hiring. I send out birthday notices. I do a thing called Kind TV. So I get to use my TV skills and I do a weekly TV like segment that shows what's going on in the market and this and our different departments and highlighting our employees. We send birthday cards. We highlight our employees. We do so much about highlighting employees and encouraging kindness and really having a mission of, you know, making lending fun, like funding fun. We really are having fun and culture is so important right now in the work world because everyone's at home and it's hard to bring people together. So how do you highlight employees that are working from home? You just got to highlight them. You got to stay connected so people feel part of something big and we're writing such a good story. And Glenn did it in 2007, turned a business around and became a juggernaut in the mortgage world. And he's doing it again. A year ago, he said, I am in the most pain I've ever been in. 2 days ago, he says, I've never been this excited about our position in the market right now. So we're in a really exciting place. He's once again, you know, creating extreme opportunities and taking advantage of it. He's a risk taker. He does it.
He's huge. I mean,
he's pretty
always
special.
Has been such a special, incredible guy. And you're both such an amazing philanthropist. I really love the whole idea of the culture of kindness and creating that in the workplace because you're right. And you're also the culture you develop is like a team.
It
because
is.
So many times people are going to work and it's so competitive and they're competing against their coworkers and you really that idea of we're all in this together.
It is. And I'll tell you one thing we do and anyone who's a business owner might want to just take this for note, but when someone leaves, we don't see it as an ending. We just see it as a transition and a lot of people will leave think maybe there's greener pastures or they get a great opportunity. We have never shamed anyone for leaving. Look,
congratulations, good for you, we wish you the best, the door is always open. And we've had probably 20 people return in the last few months that have come back. They've gone out, the business maybe wasn't what they thought, or they just didn't get the culture we have. It's so unique, and we're really proud that people come back. And we've never shamed anyone for trying new pastures, because I think everyone has to. And those are the best employees, actually. They're the most loyal,
because
they've already gone, and now they're back, and they know where they want to be. They're very sure about
it. Don't burn bridges.
We're very proud of that. And Glenn's always had that kind of philosophy, which has been wonderful. And the competition, we don't celebrate someone's demise. We celebrate all. We're all in the same tide. And when it rises, we all rise together. And we may be in different boats. They may be bigger or smaller, you know, whatever, but we're still floating, all of us. There's no reason to go poke holes in someone else's boat. It doesn't help you.
There's no reason to poke holes in someone else's boat.
Whatever floats your boat.
By the way, that is the lesson right there. I love you so much.
Oh, my God. Thank you. That flew.
Thank you for being here.
Just like the bumblebee.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for all my presents.
You're so welcome.
Tell everyone how to find you on social media, how to find your podcast, all of it.
Oh, yes. Mindy Stearns, Stearns, on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Twitter. It's all Mindy Stearns. And then on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and that's all there. And then our podcast is Grit Happens. We're going to start a new series coming up, promoting the book and doing more. We do it together. So that's kind of our main focus right now, is getting this book out there and continuing to build this business and spread kindness one bee at a time.
I love it. Don't poke holes in other people's boats. You're taking that with me. All right.
Heather,
I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of Let's Talk.